So let's bow for a word of prayer and get straight into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray that you would use your word to convict and to convert in the sense of making people repent and turn their ways in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we started in verse 6, where we see that Paul was astonished that they should be so soon, in chapter 1, so soon, be willingly turned away to surrender and submit themselves to another gospel. It was God that called them into the favor and gift of Christ, but now they are following other news. The character of the news that they are following is not true. It is a false message. Galatians 1:7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The messengers of the false message have agitated and stirred up the mind of the Galatian believers. They put their minds into a state of perplexity because of the desire of the false messengers was to change for the worse or pervert the singleness of the gospel. What's the singleness of the gospel, my friend? Christ. Singleness. If you have multiply, or if you have double, that's not single, right? There's nothing to be added to Christ. It's the singleness of Christ. But that's just for our justification, right? After we get saved, then we start to have to add a bunch of stuff. Well, in one sense we do, because 2 Peter says add to your faith, virtue, knowledge. But all of those are our privileges in Christ. Do you understand? All of that is produced by Christ. What's saying is, we don't add any fleshly things to Christ. That's what it's teaching. In other words, Christ is sufficient. In other words, Christ in his singleness, in just Christ, has enough to take care of every area of what is good and godly in our life. And he needs to be the focus, and his life needs to be the focus in our life. Paul then warns and calls down divine punishment to any creature, spiritual or physical, that would pervert the gospel. Galatians 1:8 through 10. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So the perverter's status was not to be considered. Their ability to speak, what I mean by status is, it doesn't matter if they're from heaven or if they're from earth. If they're perverting the gospel, they're not to be listened to. They're not to be heeded. I don't care how good a speaker is. You know, it's very interesting. I'm listening to a bunch of messages on biblical eldership. And I'm listening to books and trying to discern myself. One of the things that we are to do as pastors, according to Acts chapter 20, is a group of plurality of men are to protect the flock from wolves that would destroy them. You know what wolves have? They have abundance of energy. You know why they have abundance of energy? Because they don't care about the flock. They don't care if they tear you apart and wreck your life and ruin your life, just so they can make merchandise out of you. My friend, we are not here to build kingdoms. We are here to serve Christ. And I've seen plenty of people wrecked because a pastor wanted them to be a means to his end for his glory instead of Christ's glory. That is not a trait a pastor should have. A trait of a pastor is to lovingly feed the flock of God and protect that flock. And that happens with a multitude of God-called men working together in a local assembly to do what they are gifted to do in that assembly, to promote them for the honor and praise of God. Listen, our goal as pastors is to feed you and to protect you from the wolves that would destroy you. Feed you the word of God so you can stand on your own 2 feet and fight against false doctrine. This is not the mindset of those false gospel pastors that come out and would make merchandise out of your soul. Use you to accomplish their ends. The perverter's status was not to be considered their ability to speak. Their great persuasive prowess were inconsequential. In fact, they are to be given over to destruction for God's sake. If we got a wolf in our midst, I am not coddling wolves. I am not coddling false teachers of the Word of God. I am not coddling people, whether they pervert the position of Christ for pervert the gospel in our position of Christ, or they pervert the gospel in the power we have over sin. That's still the gospel. I have no patience for wolves. And we should not have patience. What should we do? Give them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. There's some stuff out there that we need to have wisdom on, because they get everything right when it comes to salvation by faith through grace, but they get everything wrong when it comes to sanctification by grace and grace alone. And they are to be heeded just as much as those that would pervert the justification by faith alone. We're sanctified, we're justified, sanctified, and glorified because of grace. Those men that think, only God should be pleased. We are Christians. We, as Christians, are the bondservants of Christ, not of men. That's all that matters to us. What does God think? What does Christ think? We're not slaves to anyone. Hey, listen, Christian, I'm going to make this very clear. The only master you have, is Christ. And all other authorities in your life are under Christ. Does every Christian understand what I'm saying? Now, there are times that God allows you to go through forceful situations that you can't help but do things. I was thinking about this the other night. Christ was put in a place that was immodest because he was hanging on a cross. But he was forced to that position. They ripped the clothes off of him. They beat him. Okay? There might be times as our nation leaves God that we're put in situations that we are totally free from any... we might be put in situations that we are totally free from any guilt in certain areas. And that's... grace has wisdom in that. Okay? I mean, if you're getting beat and your clothes are torn off, you're going to be immodest, but that's not on you. Everybody understand what I'm saying by that? But as long as we have power and as long as we have a say in something, whatever this is, I don't want to get hung up on that one illustration. I'm saying whatever it is, we understand that our only authority is Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't submit ourselves to other people. You submit yourselves to your parents. You submit yourselves to your bosses. You submit yourselves to the government. But only as they submit themselves to Christ. Does everybody understand what I'm saying by that? That's very important that we understand. Hey, there are some people in lives that write their name on my paycheck. Well, I get direct deposit, so I don't know if they have to sign it anymore. Well, there's somebody in this church that name is directly associated with my deposit. Nobody signed their name to my position in Christ except Christ's blood. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Christ is my only master. And all other masters have to submit to Christ for me to follow them. You say, well, what happens if you lose your job? What happens if you lose your security? Hey, can Christ take care of it? How many have ever given your children direct direction and you've left to go somewhere else? And then some other child or some other person has come and given them other direction. And then they maybe the status of that other person is they're bigger, they're stronger, they respect those people. And in the middle of it, your child has gone around the direct direction you've given them because somebody else told them what to do. How do you respond as a parent to that? Oh, okay. Oh, you know, Johnny told you to go a different direction. I get it, Sonny. That's fine. No! You say, I told you what I expected. You should have let nobody else. What about that prophet that was tricked by another prophet to go in and eat? How did God respond to that? Man, he killed that prophet. Listen, Christ is our master. And we follow Christ. Let's not keep Christ from what he bought, our bodies, because we have other masters besides Christ. Again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We follow our bosses and we give them a good day's work and we give them everything we possibly can because they derive their authority from Christ. But where they go away from Christ, we go away from them because Christ is our master. All right, so only God should be pleased. That's our thought for that. Paul's purpose was by divine grace. Paul's purpose was by divine grace. Paul's proclamation of the gospel was received by divine revelation. Galatians 1, 11 through 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I am declaring that this truth to you, my Christian brother in Galatia, that the good news that I proclaim was not after man's wisdom. Paul didn't receive the message by man's opinion, but through the revelation and disclosure of truth, through Christ personally revealing truth to Paul. And how has Christ revealed truth to us? Hello? In his what? How important is the Word of God to every decision you make in your life? Should it not be very important? Should we not study his word? Who gave us his word? Man's opinions, right? This word didn't come from man's opinions. It didn't come from the intellect of man. It didn't come from the will of men. But holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. God himself has given us his word. And what does his word do for us? Well, it pertains to everything that is of life and godliness. It's to equip us that we might be completely furnished unto all good works that are pleasing to God. So when we are directed to go against the word of God, now not against man's opinions. This is where we might get it wrong. Okay? I gather my opinions and dictations. Okay. I think since we're running out of time, I'm going to use this as the last point. But I'm teaching and preaching here, okay? And one of my teaching things is that I want everybody to understand is grace says this is the godly principle. This is the godly principle that stands. Now, in particular, where I have authority in my home, I may make things that protect an action because I don't want to get close to disobeying that godly principle. Does everybody understand what I'm saying by this? I don't know. I wish I could use a different illustration than this. But every father is following Christ by having the godly principle of certain things in the Christian walk. Does everybody understand? And you think of the, I don't want to be too personal on this, but a father is responsible for the spiritual well-being of his home. And there is godly principles that he must have in order to be the right father of a home. All right? Every father looks at those godly principles, and because we live in such a different type of world, we have freedom, because we're in Christ, of how we are to follow those principles and those declarations of God. Does everybody understand? So I set up certain rules for my family because I don't want them to fall into sin against a godly principle. I might set standards that are very strict in my home to protect my family from certain failures in godly principles. My standards and my protection isn't what the godly principle is. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? There are certain things that you have a freedom to choose that I can't call sin. But you better have principles in your home and hard, fast lines, fathers, that you aren't going to let your children cross. Because you're responsible for your home. Coming to church should not be a choice for your children. It should be mandatory. Why? Because God says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, sometimes you're forced to work. I get it. I think grace says, all right, some days you're forced to work instead of coming to church. But you dare not miss church a bunch. Okay? Some people listen to church online when they're away, and it's healthy to get away. It's healthy when you reach a certain age in your life to spend time and get away. Amen? I hope to get away for a little bit with my wife after the anniversary Sunday. I just want to get away, just with me and her. And I love my kids, but as a married person, there needs to be times where you get away with your spouse. Amen? And that getting away, that doesn't mean I'm forsaking the assembly of church. Right? But if my goal is to miss a godly principle, here's what I'm trying to teach in this. I'm trying to teach we get our godly principles from the Word of God. And husbands of homes better make it a big deal. And by the way, husbands, we've been given wives to help us. So they should have a say in this too. Amen? Huh? So a husband that's not talking through things with his wife, specifically when it comes to your girls, men, because I don't care who you are, girls are just good at manipulating dads. And you need your wife's help with your girls. I get guys and women, you need help with your boys, your husband. All right? I get boys. I really do. I grew up with boys. Girls, I become a melting ball of butter when they start crying, especially if they start crying. I don't know what to do with myself when my girls start crying. I used to say, Mom, help me. Mom, help me. We would be wise to let our wives make decisions on some things when it comes to our girls, men. And wives, you'd be wise to let your husbands make some decisions when it comes to your boys. Amen, ladies? Okay, never mind. Women, be silent in the church. I know. Listen. He received the gospel of Christ, God. He received the gospel from God, not from man. We received the gospel for our justification, for our sanctification. By who? From God. And we follow those principles. We follow those dictations from the scripture. We don't answer to anybody but God, Christian. You hearing me? This is very important. Grace understands that the only person we answer to is God. Now, if I come to you as a pastor and I say that, you know, I see this problem, I'm the type of pastor that's going to let it go and live with whatever decision you make and pray for you. Okay? But I want us to understand that our principles come from the Word of God. And we follow those principles from the Word of God. Not from man. Not from my opinion. If I start getting up here and preach certain things that I grew up here hearing preached, oh boy, that will be a huge mistake. I have to preach in grace. And grace is dictated to me by the gospel. And the gospel is given to me by the what? Word of God. That's our focus at Bethel, the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the time that we could spend in your word. God, I didn't have time to develop the points that I would have liked to develop when we look at how Paul was given the gospel message and that he was totally given it in grace. He didn't deserve any of this. But in your love and grace, you gave it to us. And in your love and grace, you've made us people of your word, people of the book. And God, especially as married couple, as we discuss with each other protections to the Word of God and how we're going to form our families around those protections, may we have grace with each other. May we go to the Word of God and let it plainly say what it says instead of reading our desires into the Word. Whether it be legalistic or whether it be loose, let the Word of God speak for itself and let's be people of the book, because if we're people of the book, we'll be people of grace and we'll be entering into working out the fullness of your gospel in our lives, understanding it's that you are the one that's doing the work. In Jesus' name, amen. In the red? Okay. 376 in the red. Take time to be holy. Let's stand together and sing, "Take Time to Be Holy."